So Jesus and his three best buddies are off on a little hiking trip up in the mountains for prayer and a little R&R. 13 Jewish guys spending 3 years walking around, I suspect they needed a break from each other from time to time. And so Peter, James, and John are the big three of the 12. Andrew is in there from time to time because he's the one that brought them all to Jesus in the first place. Peter and James and John and Jesus up in the mountaintop, and suddenly Jesus is transfigured, transformed, ordained, if you will. The three boys are sitting there around the campfire, and suddenly Jesus becomes angelic. And what actually happens is that Jesus, the historical Jesus, Jesus the young man of 30-something, Jesus flesh and blood Jesus, Jesus the brown-haired, blue-eyed picture that you have on all your Sunday school classrooms, that Jesus suddenly is transformed into the Christ of eternity. And the disciples go, wow. Wow. I mean, 1 minute they're walking along talking about fishing, and the next minute, the Christ of eternity is standing there. What do you say to that? You say, wow. And then Peter says, this is good. Really? This is good. Now, this story appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which means it was more than good. It was fantabulous, expialidocious kind of wow, but the gospel writers playing it down goes, it is good to be here. I suspect had we been there, we would have heard a whole lot more than that. I believe it could have been a little more overstated than the gospel writers put it. It is good to be here. And then Peter says this, let us make some dwellings. It's so good that we're here, let's build a building, which is the Baptist way, you know. It's so good to be here, we need to stay here. We need to put tents up. We'll build a tent for Jesus and one for Moses and one for Elijah, and we'll just sit here. It's good to be here, so let's just stay here. Not unlike us. Things are going well when the Spirit is sweet, when Jesus is all around us. By the way, we sang that chorus again because y'all were singing, Oh, How I Love Jesus, like you were bored to death. Come on. Oh, how I love Jesus. Do you? Ladies, amen. I prompted them ahead of time, and I'm sorry they let y'all down over here. We'll work. We'll keep working. Oh, how I love Jesus. And Peter says, let's just stay here. Everything's going good. People are coming. Things are happening. Let's just stay here. Staying here is a conscious decision, and I need you to hear that. Staying here is a conscious decision. We get in the middle of good and we say, that's good enough. Let's just stay here. The last church I served, one of the bylaws of the church is that you had to be a member for 3 years before you could participate in any committee, before you could have any kind of service at all, you had to be a member for 3 years. And I asked the deacon chair at the time, what in the world is that about? Who wrote that in? He said, well, you don't understand. I said, well, enlighten me. He said, we've had great conflict in this church. I said, when was that? He said, about 50 years ago. 50 years ago. And I said, so what does that have to do with anything? I mean, I understand being in the church long enough that you understand the workings of the church. Perhaps that rule should apply for the personnel committee or the deacons or the finance committee. I understand that. But I don't understand what that would have to do with who fills the Lord's Supper trays. I don't understand what that would have to do with the baptismal committee. Do you know what your job was on the baptismal committee in that church? You had to make sure that there was water in the baptistry. And your second job was to have a towel to wrap around the candidate when they came up out of the pool. That was your job. What in the world did that have to do with the 50-year tribulation? And I said that to him, and he said, son, you know, when you mess up, you always are son. Son, we aim to keep this church pure. We aim to keep this church pure, so we're just going to sit here. We're going to stay here because it's good to be here, and we're going to stay here. And if you don't quit asking questions, you ain't going to stay here. That was the implication. In my last interim, a man came up to me, said I preached too much about politics. I didn't think I did. I don't think I do now, but he thought I did. So I said to him, what makes you say that? He said, when I come to church, you're always preaching about politics. In 10 weeks, he'd been there two times. So I didn't really think he deserved to be listened to, but I did. He said, when I come to church, I don't want to have to think about Democrats or Republicans. I don't want the world to come to church with me. I don't want the church, I don't want the world to come to church with me. In other words, let's just stay here. It's good. It's easy. It's fine. Let's just stay here. I have a confession to make. We just can't stay here. We just can't. And hearing my own sermon preached to me this morning, I took down the Royal Ambassador bulletin board. I'm sorry, I did. You don't even know where that is, do you? Over here somewhere in a hallway in the back is a Royal Ambassador bulletin board. You have not had Royal Ambassadors here in David 50 years. It had faded. The colors had faded. There were water stains in two different places. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you ahead of time. If you need to fuss, I'm the one you need to fuss at. And while I'm confessing, we have roped off the back rows. Those of you who tried to get to your pew today, thank you so much for moving down. When I come to church, I don't want the world to come with me. Give me a break. How can we change the world if we don't know the world? You don't come in here and put your little Christian coat on and go through the motions and then hang your Christian coat up as you go out that door. But being nice I said, okay, you're right. This is a good church. We should just stay here. We should just live in this goodness. How about if I preach on Christians and Pharisees? That would be easier. How about sinners and hypocrites? Next Sunday, when you come in, you'll be given a tag. You either go the sinner side or the hypocrite side, and we'll work it out. Aaron's preaching next week, so it should be no problem. Trying to help you. How about if I preach on tithing and generosity? In other words, preacher, just leave us alone. We hired you to come in here 3 days a week and just preach the gospel. And let us stay as we are. Leave us the heaven alone. And I just can't do that. I just can't. Because not only are there sins of commission, those sins that we know we're committing, those sins that we already got in our head, I'm going to do that. Come heaven or high water, I'm going to do that. And I do that, and then I go, why did I do that? But on the other hand are sins of omission, those things that I should have spoken to. I should have said to that man, brother, the world is in their church, whether you want it here or not. The issues of the world are in your church, whether you want them to not. The question is not, how are we going to keep them out? The question is, what are we going to do with them when they're here? How are we going to love our neighbor as we love ourselves when they, whoever they are, come in the door? I know I'm meddling. I know I am. You pay me to do that. Why do we say it's just good enough? Let's stay here. Why do we say that? Because we're afraid. What if you change something and they quit coming? We've already been through that. We don't rope the pews off because they might slip in the back. Well, now they got to come sit with us. What if you change something and they quit coming? What if we change something and they come? That may scare us more than staying as we are. Jim Keenan is a Jesuit priest that I listen to from time to time. The Jesuits are a fabulous segment of the Catholic Church, very wise and very open to the world and bringing thoughtful responses, thoughtful Christian responses. Keenan says, for him, sin is simply not being bothered. The sin of omission, not being bothered. In other words, we make a conscious choice to stay right here. When we make a conscious choice to stay right here, we are sinning. When our fear keeps us from being bothered, when we, like the priest or the Levite, see the Samaritan but can't be bothered, or see the man in the ditch and can't be bothered, and we go to the other side, we can't be bothered, we have sinned. And when we say, leave us alone, let us sit here, we really can't be bothered with you and your foolishness, we are sinning. So you choose. It's good here. Leave us alone. Several years ago, the Pulse nightclub, a nightclub that catered mainly to the gay community of Orlando, was brutally attacked and over 40 people were massacred. And the Catholic bishops made no statement. They simply chose not to be bothered. And Jim Keenan, that Jesuit priest, wrote to the Catholic bishops and said, "This is a sin that you are not speaking to that incident. In every other incident, you have made a statement. In Columbine, in Ferguson, in Sandy Hook, in every other shooting in this nation, you have written a statement and condemned evil. But in Orlando, you are silent and you are sinning." My friend Tom is an African American. He was arrested in the 1960s for protesting in the civil rights movement while a member of a white Baptist church. He was a deacon in the church. He was a leader in the church. He was beloved in the church. But when he was arrested, the white church could not be bothered to post his bail. Several years ago, I was physically threatened by a men's Sunday school class. They invited me to the parking lot where they would take care of my backside, as it were. And as I looked around that room and I saw men who were my friends and I saw men who were leaders in the church, I saw them looking at their feet. They could not be bothered. I want you to be bothered. I want you to see that the church, I want you to see that the world has come to the church, and I want you to be bothered. Jesus says you must be bothered. The world is at your church. You must be bothered. And Jesus doesn't say to the boys, "We got to go back down." He simply turns and walks down the mountain. Peter's ready to camp out. James and John ready to build elaborate structures. Jesus just goes down the mountain. Can't stay here. And then he says these words. On the way down the mountain, he says these words. "Now you can't tell anybody what's happened." That was bothersome. "What do you mean we can't tell anybody what's happened? We just saw Moses and Elijah. We just saw you as the Christ of the ages. What do you mean we can't tell anybody? As soon as we get down, I'm telling Mama and them. I'm telling the rest of the boys. I'm telling everybody I know." And Jesus said, "No, you got to wait." And Scripture says that those words bothered these three men for a lifetime. Why did Jesus say, "Don't tell"? I don't know. But what I think is to keep those three boys humble. And it bothered them. It bothered them. Jesus did not come for us to stay here. Jesus did not come for okay to be okay. Jesus did not come so that good enough would be good enough. We cannot stay here. If we are to become beloved community, we will listen to Jesus. We will go down the mountain and we'll refuse to stay where we are. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Almighty God, you call us to transformation, and yet we resist. We resist because of our fear. We resist because of our doubt. We resist because we're not sure we even deserve it or can respond to it. Help us, God, in these moments to really and truly love Jesus, the Jesus of history and the Christ of eternity.